Philippians chapter 4, we're at verse 11, and we'll read verses 11 through 13 here. The Word of God says, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me." Amen. We've been in this book here, Philippians chapter 4, and in this book itself, it talks about joy, a lot about joy, and joy in serving together, and joy through suffering. Suffering is another term that you see a lot in this book, in the Philippians, the letter to the church of Philippi. And isn't it true that we will suffer if we are to live godly here in this world? Suffering is part of the Christian walk.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at some of the examples that we have, namely Jesus Christ, he suffered here in this world. Mm-hmm. And imagine him coming into this world into a completely dark place and being the only light that there was. And yet, as people got saved and started seeing and started being able to have things more clearly, there was more light that started to shine around the world.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
It reminds me of Abraham back in his day, where he must have felt very alone being the only person that was following after God and hearing his instruction. But you know what? He stayed faithful to the Lord and he was blessed. And we've been blessed because of that as well. Amen. The blessings of the Lord are abundant. And they're so abundant that when God puts them on other people, do you know that those blessings run over and go to those that are around them as well? What a tremendous thing that it is that anytime that we ourselves are blessed, God pours into us as we are that vessel for the Lord. He pours in so much that it cannot be contained, that it goes out. It's like the joy of the Lord that is in our hearts, and it's just a contagious thing. Think of this. Who do you know that smiles a lot? Do those people have a contagious smile? Have you been known to have a contagious smile? You always smile everywhere you go, and when you don't, people are really confused. Why are they not smiling? Because you're always smiling. What a tremendous blessing that it is that even with a smile, we can be a blessing to other people, and that can overflow onto others that are around us. Amen. But here this morning, we remember that we ought to be content with all the things that the Lord has given us. And we remember this, that in verse 12, he explains to us how to have joy through humility. How to have joy through humility. Well, what is humility? You think about humbling ourselves. It means literally a lowering of yourself. It means to put yourself down and to put others up. It means to put yourself down and to put God's way before your way. It means to make sure that you are seeing the Lord Jesus Christ clearly.
Preach it, brother. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Because without humility, there's no way we can serve the Lord.
Right. That's right.
There's no way we'd be a good servant at all if we had no humility. If we were filled with pride, that is against what God goes for. It is against his will and his purpose. And God does not work through pride, but yet he works through the humble and the lowly. Here's part of that humbleness that we have in verse 12. He says, "I know how to be abased." And then you jump down a little further. He says, "To be hungry." To be hungry. Anybody here ever been hungry before? You were hungry a little bit earlier, then you ate a little snack over there, and now you're okay. And now you're so okay that you might get really comfy, you might start snoozing during the service. Oh, no, I'm going to wake up. Sometimes we get hungry. But you know what? The one that can satisfy the hunger, the deepest need that we have, is Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
We were talking last week, and Pastor Jose made mention about how many of the things of God are surrounded by food. Many of the celebrations that we have, many of the ceremonies are surrounded by food. And yet here goes another example of food in itself. Now, what is this hunger talking about? It's just that maybe, Ariana, you want to go and eat a big, nice sandwich after this? You know? Is that what it's talking about? That's not that kind of hunger. There's a hunger that's deep down in our souls. There's a hunger that cries out for the Lord. There's a hunger that seeks after righteousness and truth and godliness. Why else would our brother Marcus want to go and have a petition against violence and against wrong doings in this world? What if it weren't for a hunger for righteousness?
That's right. Amen.
We want the righteousness of God to be shown in this world. Amen. Jesus Christ tells us in Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, he says this. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. You know what? They will be filled. Amen. My brothers and sisters, we need to hunger and thirst for righteousness in this world. We have a spiritual desire in our hearts that is expressed sometimes outwardly, and that spiritual desire can only truly be satisfied in Jesus Christ. It can only be fulfilled in Him. John chapter 6, in John chapter 6, verse 35, says this. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh unto me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Wouldn't it be nice if you never got hungry or you never got thirsty?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be nice? I know sometimes we might be like, well, you know what? I mean, certain foods are just amazing to eat, and I would love to eat more of those things. But have you ever gotten so involved in something that you forgot to eat?
Yeah.
I've been there before. You get so involved with doing your work, with taking care of your family, with whatever it is that's set before you, brothers and sisters, that sometimes we forget to eat. And how sweet would it be if you, in your time in fellowship with the Lord, personally, you're reading your Bible, you look up and it's like, oh man, an hour passed by. How did that happen? You're praying and I'm saying I'm going to pray for a few minutes. And you look at the clock afterwards and like 45 minutes have gone by. You're like, what in the world just happened? But praise the Lord. Yeah, right? Praise the Lord. We're enjoying that fellowship that we have with the Lord. But it's in part for that desire for the bread. Jesus Christ said, I am the bread of life.
Mm-hmm.
He is the one that will satisfy your soul.
Bless God. That's good,
my dear friends in school, there's many different things that they're going to try to do to think of to satisfy your appetite, to satisfy your longings that you have. You may like athletics. You may like arts. You may like many different things that are before. You may like a specific topic in school, but there's nothing that can satisfy like Jesus Christ.
Amen.
If you don't believe me, try him out and you'll see.
Amen, brother.
I was a teenager coming in to know the Lord and to really follow after him because that hunger just got so bad. It's like my tummy was growling and started calling out, give me more, and the more that I got a bit of the Word of God, the more that I wanted, and it just kept growing and growing and growing.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, brother.
And the Lord has satisfied my soul. Amen.
Amen.
Are there questions that we have? Definitely. Are there some things that we read in the Bible that we don't understand? Yes. But guess what? Those are there on purpose because God wants us to hunger for Him.
That's right.
He wants us to hunger for His truth.
Amen.
Amen. Let's be hungry, brothers and sisters, for the truth of the Word of God.
Amen.
Amen. We ought to hunger as well for the spiritual riches that bring God glory. There are spiritual riches in this world that bring God glory. We need to be thirsty and hungry for the things that God gives. Let's look at Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. In verse 1, it says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Brothers and sisters, that's why I said that this morning. This is the greatest desire of a believer's heart. We want to see Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Don't we desire to see our Lord and Savior? That is a hunger that's deep down inside of us that one day is going to be satisfied. Amen. Amen. But in the meantime, we have Jesus Christ, his Spirit, here with us. He has left us the Comforter. And oh, are we so satisfied with that? Because it's the one that gives us the desire to want to do the will of the Lord. It's the one that gives us the desire to want to read more of God's Word. It's the one that gives us the desire to come to church. Even when our flesh tells us, man, I'm tired, I don't want to do this. Even when our flesh is saying, I'm sleepy and I can't stay up, I don't know. Yet, God is the one that works that inside of us. That desire. Amen. You know what else? He says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 12, we get joy through humbling ourselves, that humility, brothers and sisters. We get joy through suffering. Ooh, that's really weird. Because suffering usually is something that's painful, you know? And the Bible uses this great example. And I didn't say this morning, but pregnancy is a perfect example of what the Lord is going through right now. Having a baby, going through the process of holding that baby in your womb and all of the things that comes along with that, the sicknesses, the pains, the little crazy one that's inside of there, maybe wiggling around and kicking you and hitting your ribs and hitting different organs on the inside. It's like, calm down, child, calm down. It's really, that's what's going on in this world today. God is waiting. He is allowing all of these things, that suffering, the pain, the anguish that we see right now, because we are going to be reborn into something brand new. Amen. That when the rapture comes and we're taken up, this old flesh is going to be put away. Yeah. Praise the Lord. What did Pastor Jose say about that weed? All right. That weed, what is it going to do? It starts to deteriorate and diminish and go away. But yet somehow that weed wants to come back. And what a great blessing. Jesus Christ and Paul gives us examples. If you take a seed and you put it into the ground, what does that seed do? At first it gets destroyed in that ground. It comes completely apart before it starts to sprout up and become something completely new. We must endure the suffering, because you know what's going to come? Joy. Amen. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Amen, amen. Yes, sir, we'll get to the minute. Okay?
Yeah, I just kind of want to add to anyone who might be concerned.
Mm.
I just want to say, any form of conflict can be considered a form of suffering.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
So it doesn't matter how small or how big, you're technically suffering if you feel like there's some kind of problem that needs to be solved or something that needs to get through.
That's of the Lord there, right there.
As simple as, you know, yeah, having a kid or just trying to find a bathroom.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Go ahead. One more word, bro.
To add on to what Max was saying, it's one of my new favorite verses. Now, I can't remember the name of the book that it was in, or the chapter, or the actual number of the verse itself, but it just basically says that tribulation brings about patience that patience, well, tribulation brings about experience, that experience patience, that patience brings about hope.
Romans 5.
And the hope circles right back into faith, and it's just a constant cycle. So these tribulations, well, we may look at them negatively, it all depends on that focus of view, because God, as long as you trust in God, you'll see the positives within the negatives, and they'll be able to grow you.
Amen. Amen.
Eyes on Jesus.
That's a blessing. Just in case you guys were unaware, I gave them a copy of my notes ahead of time, and then they went aside and started. Praise the Lord. That's the Lord totally moving. Amen. Guys, it's true. Those are the desires that we have. And those tribulations, they do, they work something new in us. We, our old man gets completely destroyed so that we can have the new man come up. Amen? That's what Jesus Christ wants in us. That's the same thing that he himself has suffered. As a matter of fact, let's go to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. You remember that this Jesus, he suffered for us. And he told us to put that same mind on us, that we would humble ourselves, that we would allow these sufferings in our lives so that we can grow and have that newness into our life. Chapter 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, Amen. But made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant. There's that humility. And was made in the likeness of men. That's basic. That's very humbling too. God being in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Amen, my brothers and sisters. That's why when God says his word, if we humble ourselves, he will exalt us. He will lift us up. Amen. He's doing that in the name of Jesus Christ. And all of this exaltation in our lives is for the glory of God, so that his name will be lifted up on high. That when people see the rejoicing that we have, when people see the joy in our hearts, they can see the glory of God. It's not much different than all these thousands of people walking in the wilderness with a pillar of fire and a pillar of cloud leading them everywhere. And people hearing about this miracle of the sea opening and then crushing an entire army. God was working through them, and he is working through you. He wants to use us, amen, but for a good purpose, so that this world will see his glory and that they would get saved.
Yes.
Amen. Because God does not desire that anyone perish. He wants everybody to come to repentance. Amen. Praise the Lord. But for this time, he allows this suffering. Because just like he allowed the suffering on the cross, what was the great reward of that? The great reward of that was that Jesus Christ didn't stay dead. He didn't just hang there on the cross and he's staying there all the time. He has risen from the dead. Amen. Guys, you may not believe literally in certain things in the Bible, but believe this, Jesus Christ is alive and well.
Hallelujah.
And if Jesus Christ is alive and well, then you will as well one day be more alive than ever. More well than you've ever been in your life, because Jesus Christ has risen. That is why, my dear friends, this joy comes from Jesus Christ, our time with him, our serving in the joy of his goodness and grace, and in suffering and in time of hunger. Brothers and sisters, there's the other side of this coin though. Back in Philippians chapter 4, the other side of that coin is we also joy through abundance. Abundance. I know we live in the United States of America, and I've seen this firsthand of some people that have come into the United States of America that have not had such abundance as what we've had, and they hold on to a certain way for a while because they've had to. They've learned to depend more on God and other things than just on their own being around, and guess what? They start to fall back away. I've seen people that have come as refugees from other countries, from war, from having a gun put in their hand and saying at 16 years old, you're gonna fight in our war. And they have no idea what they're doing at 16 years old and why they're fighting. It's like, this isn't my war. But yet the Lord rescued them from there. They come to the States and they're so grateful for many years. They start to follow the Lord because they knew the Lord back then, but then they start to slowly drift away because the riches of this world has taken their hearts away. Please be mindful not to let those things happen. Don't let the riches of this world take your mind away. That's why we need to learn that we can rejoice through the abundance that God gives us, but that's only in using that abundance properly.
Amen.
We have to really use that abundance properly. So in this portion here, he says two different ways. One, be full. Be full. We need to learn to be satisfied with the things that God provides for us. Amen. And he also says to us that we need to learn to abound, to go over and beyond the things that are there before us. One of the best ways that we can learn to be full is to be full of the Spirit of God. Anybody know the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Amen. I'm remembering a song. That's why. That's one of the easiest ways to remember those things. The fruit of the Spirit helps guide us. It helps give us that joy. It helps guide us in this world and express that joy to this world that they can see. It is a fullness walking in the grace and the mercy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And when people see it, they recognize a difference. Because remember, this is the other side of the coin, but there are times when we suffer and we may rejoice through our suffering. That is okay. That's what we should do. Because when we see that we're suffering for righteousness' sake, for Christ's sake, then we're doing it for the right reason. And guess what? The end result is going to be life. Things so much better than what we could ever imagine. But the end result of suffering because of our own heart's desire, because of our own, because of the God of our belly that's trying to cry out and reach into this world, then there's more destruction than and hurt and pain than anything else. It's good to suffer in the Lord. In fact, the Bible says, it is good for me that I've been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Amen. We learn to abound in good works. We learn to abound in Jesus Christ. We learn to abound in faith. And how do we abound in all of these things? Well, may I submit something to you? 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. What if we were to be better givers? If we were to be better givers, I believe that that would help us in this joy challenge in our lives. That would help us in this abundance. It would help us to realize the abundance that we have.
Hallelujah.
And disperse it in such a great way that you feel so much greater. Years ago, I was a coach in soccer, football. And what a great blessing that was. Because one of the things that I noticed in working with younger folks, this was a desire of my heart. I wanted to see that young player do way better than I ever had done. So I would train them that way. I would train them in a way that hopefully they do and go beyond whatever I've ever gone to. I think of the same thing when I think of tutoring and doing mathematics and helping people in those things. Guys, it is so much greater for me to see somebody advancing rapidly in all of these things when maybe I struggled in those things back in those days. Mm-hmm. We want to see the betterment of somebody else over ourselves. You know what that kind of sounds like? Humility, mm-hmm. Humbling ourselves. Kind of sounds a little bit like in Philippians chapter 2 again, thinking of others and preferring them before yourself. Mm-hmm. We're looking for their good because it is going to be toward the glory of God.
Amen.
here in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7, every man according to as he, or according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Amen. You know, God wants us to give cheerfully from our hearts. Amen.
Amen.
Look at verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that he, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Praise the Lord. You know, all we're really doing is repeating the same thing that God is doing in us. He is teaching you something new, so you go teach somebody else.
That's it.
It's just like one beggar who on his way found some bread and a place to get bread. So he goes and tells some other beggars, this is where you can get some bread.
Hallelujah. That's it.
And don't you know we have the bread of life.
Amen.
Lord.
How exciting is that?
Yeah.
My brothers and sisters, if you want to enjoy the abundance of the things that you have, you got to learn to give.
Yeah.
You got to learn to give.
Amen.
It sounds totally backwards. But you know what? In the economy of Jesus Christ, everything is upside down from what this world teaches.
Bless God. Amen. And God, bless God for it.
Amen. If you want to be the greatest one, then you be the greatest servant.
You got it.
If you want to have the most, then be the one most willing to give.
You got it. Amen. Preaching.
And we don't do it because we're looking for some glory. We don't do it because we're actually looking to get some gain from the Lord. I mean, he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He can give of whatever we need.
Right.
When you take a step in faith and trust in the Lord, you see that he will provide all your needs according to his riches and glory. Amen. That's back in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. What a tremendous blessing it is to know that if we give, it helps us to learn to have better joy through the abundance
right.
that we have. Amen. Won't be like this world. You know, there's some people that give so that they can put it as a tax write-off.
Mm-hmm.
So that the world knows, I'm giving. This is great. Look, whatever way you direct your giving, financial, talents, treasures, whatever you have, the treasures and finances are the same thing. Time, talents, and treasures. Guys, whatever way you direct it, that's between you and the Lord. That's what the scripture is telling us. Okay? In his heart, as he purposeth in his heart. But let me ask you to do this, at least, whatever you do, do it as unto the Lord.
Amen.
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 Because that's what we do. Everything that we do ought to be as we do it unto the Lord. Speaking of which, look at this. Matthew chapter 25. This will give us a few examples of that, how we can do and give as we give unto the Lord. Matthew chapter 25, look at verse 34. Jesus gives us a great example, explaining to us the sheep and the goats, and those that are people of the Lord, these that give with their whole heart. Look at verse 34, or 35, pardon me. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me, and I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Sounds good?
Mm-hmm.
Friends, when did we do that unto God? When did we do that to God? Well, you know what? Maybe if we were doing it unto other people, we were doing it to God.
Amen.
What does that next verse say? That next verse tells us, I think first they asked that question. Then, verse 37, then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungry and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? You know, that is that question that we have. When did we see this? how do I know, Lord God, that I'm serving you? And he answers, the king answers and says unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you've done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. Wow. You've done it unto the least of these. You've done it unto me. You know, this is what the Lord, our God, wants us to do, is to be givers this way. And it's interesting. They would ask that question because they weren't thinking about it. They just saw a need and they went and gave. I'm blessed to be in this church. We have a church of people who really love to give. In fact, I'm sure that there are many of you sitting here today that has received from the giving of people that are in this church. You may have also received from the giving of other Christian people that are around you and in your influence. Are you grateful for that? Can we repeat the same thing? Can we be givers as well? That we can learn and get that same joy? That we can see that that person is doing much better than I was at that stage. Finally, in Philippians 4, verse 13, all of this is possible. But it's only possible in Christ. He says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. The widow that gave that mite, that penny, she gave everything that she had. She probably thought, I have nothing I can give. But wait, yes I do. And she took and emptied out her piggy bank and she gave all that she had. I can do all things through Christ Jesus that strengthens me. Okay? Brothers and sisters, this is pure joy and unity. When we can learn to give and we can do it not grievously. That we can do it with our whole hearts as if we're doing it unto God himself. Because that's what he said. As much as you've done it unto the least of these, you're doing it unto me as well. Our key to joy is in Jesus Christ. Jesus gives us the example. He suffered, but at the end of his suffering, there's great joy. Paul gives us an example. He had suffered many things in his life for the cause of Jesus Christ, but yet at the end, he has joy. Even his young man that he had here, Epaphroditus, that young man went and served God so deeply that he almost died. He got so sick, he almost died, and yet God preserved his life. But it's okay. Whether he died then or he died a little bit later, he is feeling the full joy of the Lord in the presence of Jesus Christ.